Boom, we're on.
Yeah.
Today's guest, we've got Jay Hutton.
Right.
How are you, brother?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. Yeah,
you're looking well.
Thank you. So, yeah, I like your shirt.
Yeah, thank you. I'm trying to impress everybody now. Tattoo fixers, brother.
Yeah.
Mega.
Yeah.
Mega.
Like it.
Yeah, I loved that. Loved that. I've got three shady tattoos myself.
Have you actually? Yeah, you've got to get them out, please. Yeah. You're going to have to show me now. You can't say that. Not show me.
Three shady ones, man, that I got probably 10, 15 years ago.
Did
Thought
you?
It was cool. Fuck me, boy. Was I wrong, man?
How long ago? 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
Young so you've not had anything since?
Nah, because I regretted that.
What, all of them?
Yeah, I got a big massive crucifix in my back. I've got Faith and Hope here, which is terrible. I don't even think it's spelt right. And I've got like an angel that's kind of turned into a witch on my side.
Really?
Yeah, tattoos change as well over time.
Oh, God, yeah. The industry's changed like completely since I started tattooing. I've been tattooing 12 years now, and it's so different now to when I started. The machines are different. And now you've got like artists coming through. All these like young people, they go to college and they're actually artists tattooing now. So yeah, it's proper developing. Who knows what it'll be in like 10, 15
years. It's a craft, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
People don't realise the detail that goes into tattooing.
I didn't myself, to be honest, mate, when I first started tattooing. You look at it and, you know, I was like, I can draw. And, you know, I look at it and thought, I could do that. Mm-hmm. Mate, when you start tattooing, it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
As well, you got to remember that you're marking someone's skin for life. The pressure of marking someone's skin for life, I don't think you quite grasp that until you're actually about to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, mate, the first time, fucking hell, some of the first tattoos I ever did on people were just...
What was your first ever tattoo?
Well, I actually tattooed my... one of my best mates, his older brother, and his older brother was an absolute psycho. And he was like, oh, yeah, Chris will let you tattoo him. And I was thinking... I don't want to do this. And he had a little bit of tribal on his arm.
Mm-hmm.
So the lad I was working for drew like a little cover-up on it. It was a cover-up actually, yeah? First tattoo was a cover-up. And he drew this like tribal tattoo on him, and it took me 4 hours just to outline it. And it was shaky and everything. And this girl who was working there had to finish it off for me. Oh, mate, it was bad. But yeah. he still got it and he loves it. But he won't get rid of it because it's my first ever tattoo.
It. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. Yeah, so he won't get rid of it, but you know. Yeah, first ever tattoo was a cover-up.
Sure, massive, broke all sorts of records when it first came out.
Yeah.
But I always go back to the start with my guest, brother.
Yeah.
How it all began.
Yeah, well, I'm from North Wales, which is probably about 45 minutes down the road from here. Lived in a place just outside of... Have you ever heard of Rhyl?
No.
No, so if you're from up this way, you'll have heard of Rhyl.
Okay.
It's a small town, seaside resort. All the Scousers and the Manx come there for their holidays and stuff like that, so... It's a busy place full of different people. So, you know, it can be quite rough at times. But that's where I'm from. I'm from just on the outskirts of that in a place called Abergele. Grew up there. I had a great upbringing. Mum and dad are amazing. Got a brother. And we're a proper tight-knit family. I've done everything together. And yeah, mate, it just started all from there. You know, I never thought that I was going to get into tattooing growing up. It wasn't like one of these things that I thought, you know, oh, yeah, I want to be a tattooist when I'm older. It just sort of fell into place.
How was your schooling and stuff?
Yeah, good. It was good, mate. I was quite shy in that in school. Like, I was quite quiet. I kept myself to myself. I still do, really. I still keep myself to myself. But, I was quite a shy kid in school, my first couple of years of school, and then obviously went to high school. And then my first year of high school was a bit rough. I got bullied a little bit. Not like major bullied, like some kids get bullied, but, you know, just a bit of pushing around and stuff like that. And then, yeah, some things happened there. But other than that, mate, it was great after that. Mm. Luckily, I had an older brother, so.
Yeah. Does he do judo?
No, jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu?
Yeah.
Don't fuck about with him, man.
No, mate, he's just got his blue belt. He's been doing about a year and a half, I think.
But he's
now.
Your double.
Do you think?
Yeah. Is that a compliment to him?
Yeah. Do you know what? So many people, we don't see it, but loads of people say it. Like, everyone say, God, you're like twins.
Nah,
and we just look at each other like, what?
He's double.
Do you think?
I've seen your photo, yeah. Double.
Seriously?
Absolute double. Because I thought it was you.
Did you?
I thought it was you. Yeah. I was like, fucking hell, he's went downhill. No, I'm kidding. I'll kick my balls. Because when you're at school as well, you got a C for art.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was that story?
So, I've been drawing all my life. So when I used to go to school, I'd come home at 3 o'clock, I'd go straight into the living room, I'd just lie on the floor and I'd draw all night until I went to bed. And I used to just draw portraits of footballers. And so my mum and dad were always saying, God, you're amazing at drawing and all this stuff. And I sort of knew I was good at drawing. And then it's sort of like when I was in school, I started recognising that people couldn't draw. And it just was a thing that I just thought, I can draw. I don't understand how you can't draw. So, when I went to high school, art was compulsory up until year 9, I think it was. And I didn't like really doing like painting or clay modelling and stuff like that. I just like drawing with a pencil. So, I used to get recognised in my class as the one who could draw really well. So people used to try and get me to do their work for them and stuff. And then my art teacher, she wasn't the type of person who would really take interest in what anyone was doing. I got a report once, my report, and it said C and an effort grade of 5, which was the worst effort grade you could get. And I remember thinking, that's not right. Everyone knows I can draw here. I was never cocky or like I'm the best here at drawing and all that. I just knew how good I was at drawing. So anyway, I come home and my dad was like, what's this? You know, that's not true. Effort grade of 5 and all this. And he was going mad about it. Anyway, parents' evening come round. So I go to my parents' evening. I've got a session booked with her. So I go there and I walk up to her and she goes, who are you? My teacher goes, who are you? And I went, I'm Jamie Hutton. And she went, do I teach you? And my dad was like, well, it's funny you should say that. And he brought my portfolio of all my drawings that I'd done at home every night. And I just had loads. And then he was going, look at them. And she was going, and then just people around. And I was just mad embarrassed. And he was going, no. And she was going, yeah, they're good. And he was going, no, look at the next one. Look at them. Because you've given him that and it doesn't match up, does it? And she was like, she was just embarrassed. And then, I got moved to a different art class. And when I got moved to that class, different teacher, lovely teacher she was, and I just thought, I'm gonna have to prove a point here. So I had a homework and I went home and I drew my watch off my wrist and I spent like 4-5 hours on it and then took it in the next day and she was just couldn't believe I'd even drawn it. She was just like, and then she just marked it A like that and I was just like buzzing.
Yeah, why did she not acknowledge your stuff the
don't
first
know.
Time?
I don't know, I really don't know.
Were you shy in class, were you quiet?
Yeah, I think I was, I was never like this brash person. So, I don't know. I don't know what it is, mate. I don't know. I don't understand it.
You must have not liked you, mate.
No, maybe, but it's funnily enough that I got a job tattooing. The lad who taught me to tattoo had her as a teacher as well, and she told me he wasn't good at art as well.
And he was good?
Yeah, he was good.
A bit of jealousy. Okay.
Don't know. Okay. I don't know. Funny thing was, though. Funny thing was, though, when Tattoo Fixers came about and it was taken off, my school asked me to come back.
Was she still there?
She was still there, yeah. She was, yeah. And so we went round, they were like asking me to go around all the classes and that. And then we get to the art class and I didn't know she was still there. And all these kids are coming out and asking for photos and stuff. And she comes out, she didn't look at me. She didn't acknowledge me. And I just thought, do you know what? I could tell all these kids here and you just lose all the respect. Mm-hmm. But I thought, no, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, don't lull yourself on it. Nah. She never even came over and says,
nothing.
Well done.
No, nothing, mate. Nothing.
That's a shite teacher, that. That is a shite teacher.
Hello. You just got to get away with it, aren't you, mate? It's one of them things.
When you were doing art and stuff in school, did you find it was like a lonely journey as well? Was there a lot of other people doing it?
Because it was at that point it was compulsory, but because that happened, I didn't pick it for GCSE. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I can't be arsed with that. I can't be arsed putting effort into that and then not getting anything out of it. I thought she just didn't know what she's talking about. So I left it, I didn't pick it. And then I stayed on to sixth form because I didn't know what I wanted to do. Didn't want to leave school and just get a job and do nothing. So I stayed on sixth form. When I was in sixth form, I went to try and sign up to do art again because I thought maybe I'll do this. Mm-hmm. And the guy who was taking the art classes then actually said, he was like, if you didn't pick up a GCSE, you'd be too far behind. And even that made me go, I fucking won't be. Mm-hmm. But I just, they're saying that. So I just thought, I'll just leave it. And then I started watching Miami Ink. Do you remember Miami Ink?
Yeah, old school.
That's what made me mm-hmm. want to be a tattooist. Yeah. I just thought, right.
Isn't that amazing that you watch that and then you end up doing something similar?
Well, yeah, that was the plan, really, because that's what...
Did you know in yourself or your dreams or your visions or your goals?
I saw that, mm-hmm. that is what gave me a focus to do what I'm doing now. Yeah. I literally just thought, that is sick.
Yeah, your light bulb moment.
Loved that, and I thought, and people can respect you for that. Mm-hmm.
I respect tattoos
that.
Were proper on that.
Yeah.
Proper, weren't they?
Oh, mate.
And
I
was talking about 10 years ago.
Oh, it was amazing.
15 years ago.
Yeah. 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 Do you know what? Saying that's even mad. Like, thinking it doesn't even feel like it was that long ago. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's exactly. Watch Kat Von D doing them portraits, mate. And that was me set. I just thought, that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I want to be on telly doing it.
And you done it?
Yeah.
Did you work? You were in McDonald's as well for a bit?
Yeah.
How was that experience?
Do you know what, mate? My mum and dad have always just said, you know, if you want something, you've got to work for it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as soon as I turned 16, it was like that, get a job.
Fair play.
So the first job I got was McDonald's. And mate, for me, it wasn't about the job. It was about just getting some money and being able to pay my way.
Some stability.
Yeah, pay my way, pay for my car. That was, you know, when I turned 17, I was wanting to pay for my own car and, you know, run my car and stuff.
What was your first car?
It was my brother's Honda Civic LSI, and it had Viper stripes down the front. Oh, it was proper. And he had a pair of my dad's a singer, so my dad had a pair of these Ramsa speakers, which are massive speakers.
And
we put them in the boot. Yeah, proper jammer one.
I need to get a photo of that so we can put that up.
Yeah, it was the bollocks, though. I loved it at the time. Loved it.
It's funny, mate. I had a green Corsair as well.
Did you?
Yeah, oh, shady.
That was the time, though, wasn't it, mate?
Five spoke alloys. And,
oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Lower it, body kit on
it. Yeah, yeah. Thinking you're cool.
You look back now, you cringe, don't you?
So, 18, this is when you started getting into tattooing?
Yeah, well, I left McDonald's and I went to work in Asda. Mm-hmm. I think I worked in McDonald's for about 2 years, and then I went to work in Asda. I was in sixth form at this point, still didn't know what to do. And I just bummed around in sixth form, just bunked off lessons and stuff because I just didn't have a clue what I wanted to do. I was working in Asda and I got this job in Asda. I ended up working on the fish counter in Asda. Oh, God. But at the same time, I started working in Asda and I had the fish counter and it was so embarrassing. I just didn't like it. I was 18, sorry. And it just was not the cool thing.
It's stinking.
Oh, yeah, horrible. But on the other hand, as well, my brother used to DJ in a nightclub and he got a job in the main nightclub in Rhyl. So he was leaving the club that he was at and I was like, oh, teach me to do it so I can earn extra money. So he takes me up to this club and I was with him for about 20 minutes, half an hour. He's just going, yeah, you do this, you do that, and you do this, put this in this, and it turns on. And I was just like, right. And he goes, you're DJing on Saturday. And I was like, shit. So then that was that. And so I used to DJ on the weekend on a Saturday in this well good club. Mm-hmm. And mate, that was sick. Yeah. But so in the day I had this awful job and on the weekend I had this well good job. So like I tried to hide this one.
What kind of music?
Our house, our everything, mate. Mm-hmm.
Mixed everything.
Oh yeah, mixed everything. Mm-hmm. And it basically everyone from our area could just get in there. It was just one of those places you could get in. It didn't matter what age you were, you could get in.
Yeah.
It was just, we had some belter nights there. Right?
Did you drink much or anything younger years?
Nothing excessive, mate. Just if I was going out one night out with my mates, go out every weekend and get pissed and, you know, just crack
as you
on.
Do.
Yeah, just normal, mate.
But 18, did you open your own shop at 18?
No, so when I was 18, I got the apprenticeship. So
who with?
A guy called Andy Lloyd.
Who was he?
A place called New Skin Tattoo. Yeah, sound mate. Yeah, quality guy. Gave me the opportunity, mate. So we're still mates and stuff. And we don't speak to each other that much, but we're still good mates and stuff. And you know, I'm grateful to him for giving me the opportunity. But I just thought one day walking past that I'd go in there at some point, but never really. I just didn't really have the balls to just walk into somewhere like that and go, oh, you know, have you got a job and stuff? But then my brother was getting tattooed there and I said, oh, can I come and watch? And he was like, yeah. So we go in and Andy was tattooing him and Dan was like, oh, Jay's a well good artist. And I was a bit like, oh, shut up. Like, you know, and he was like, he goes, show Andy, you should show him your drawings. And I was like, no, I've only got a couple. Like, cause I've been working on a portfolio that I was probably eventually going to take it in there. And then Andy was like, no, let's have a look. So I took him in and he was like, yeah, they're well good. He goes, tell you what, go away, come back in a week and do some more and we'll see where we're at from there. So I thought, right, I've got to smash this now. So went home for a week and I drew like all these portraits of these rappers. Spent about 5 hours on each one every night. And I went in on the Monday and took him in, and he was just like, yeah, mate, start on Monday.
Blown away.
Yeah, just took me on straight away. And it doesn't happen like that in tattooing for apprentices. Mm-hmm. It's so difficult to get an apprenticeship. I was just very lucky that he just gave me the time.
See, when you're doing it, if you're just starting, what's it like when you see the blood and stuff?
Doesn't faze me. I think it just depends on what you like as a person, because mm-hmm. a lot of people are. They don't like blood and stuff, do they? Yeah. But you know, funny enough, I had a lad pass out yesterday. So
his shorts only just bottom last week as well.
Oh no. Yeah, straight back into it, people passing out. Yeah. Now. But no, the blood and stuff doesn't faze me, mate. It's weird, you don't think of it like that, and you know, especially there's things on tattoo fixers and, you know, people getting tattooed in rude places and all that sort of stuff. But when you're actually tattooing, you're not thinking about that. You're literally just thinking of the job and it's just skin.
So you just see it as an art, a craft. Yeah. Just get the job done, do it as best as you can.
That's it. And, you know, you've always got it in the back of your mind that you forget that you're putting someone through a lot of pain.
Yeah.
So you always have to keep it in mind that, you know, you might be doing 6, 7, or 8 hours, but that person's in pain for that long as well. And some people can sit, not flinch, perfect. Nah, pain threshold's massive.
They're weirdos. They're, yeah. Because when I had 6 hours on my back and I was nearly crying every second. It was so painful.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sure. I'm the same, mate. They must be lying.
Well, do you know what? There's 100% people who lie. But I have met people who can seriously sit there. Like, I mean, I've got a mate who I can tattoo him for 8, 9 hours, and after 9 hours, he sits there like he's just started getting tattooed. He's fine.
Do some people enjoy it?
Some people say they do, but a lot of time I think that's bollocks. I think that's bullshit. Because you don't know how you can enjoy it.
You don't look like your average tattooist either. Handsome guy, looking good. In Glasgow, I'm going to be honest, they're all big fucking balding men with like tattoos in their face. And you don't look, I don't know what a tattoo artist you look like, but the ones in Glasgow look like bikers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've worked with a lot of guys that look like tattooists. Yeah. Like the typical what you'd think. And I used to get that a lot of people saying, you don't look like a tattooist. In fact, I used to work with a guy who was exactly that, the stereotypical looking tattoo artist, big, massive guy, bald head, tattoos all over his neck and his head and stuff. Great guy. And, you know, people would come in and just because he looked like a tattooist, they'd rather be tattooed by him. Mm. It's weird.
But it's weird because you do visualise that the jeans on, the black T-shirt, but the bald and the tattoos.
Yeah.
That's what I got the same guy. I don't know why we had the same guy, but he was the exact same. He was actually soft as shit.
Really? Yeah.
Sorry. But he was soft as shit.
You'll find that everyone's, like, you know, people have this thing about tattoo shops that they're really rough and stuff. And don't get me wrong, a lot of them are. There's a lot of places that are. But the one I worked in, you know, was great. The lads were sound.
Yeah.
And everyone that came there, I think people build themselves up so much worrying about going in there. But once they're in there, you're in such close proximity with someone and they're putting their trust in you that you all end up chatting and talking like your mates. And then they just think, oh, that was sound, you know. And that's what brings people back.
I think a lot of places that Magaluf, maybe Benidorm, the cheap tattoo shops, people are going in there drunk. And it puts a lot of people off because that's what a lot of people remember that shit as, is the shit tattoos, isn't it?
Well, that's the thing, you know, if it depends what your experience of someone who's got tattoos is like and how you're going to judge them, isn't it? I suppose, because I don't think it's the same anymore, though. I think that stigma of people with tattoos is well out the window. I mean, unless you've got your face drastically covered or, you know, hands and neck and it's proper on show. Even hands and neck now, I think it doesn't bother people as much as it used to.
Nah.
But yes, I mean, it's just a case of judging a book by its cover. I think shows like Tattoo Fixers and stuff like that are changing the way people look at that now.
Well, Tattoo Fixers, first of all, congratulations.
Cheers, mate.
That was 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's five years ago. Yeah.
Broke all the records. You're now on Netflix, which will no doubt boost your portfolio even more. So that's amazing. I've seen constant on your Instagram, people just watching it. I was watching it again last week because it's... I was coming to interview you, I was like, I need to catch up again because I've not seen it in the last couple of years.
Well, the thing is, it took off. I mean, it took off. We didn't expect it.
Yeah.
We didn't know it was going to do anything like that. And it went massive. And then obviously, in the last few years, people just got used to it and it's died down. It became just an awesome. But now this thing on Netflix is just, I mean, fucking hell, mate. It's like it's just
5 years
again.
Ago, that's good, man. Yeah. It's good for yourself. Yeah, listen, it opens more doors again.
100%, mate.
How did E4 come knocking?
So, the short story is that they messaged me on Twitter, just a tweet, which was random at first. It was just a casting director. who just messaged me a tweet saying, we're casting for a new show on E4, looking for Titoist, would you be interested? And because it was just a tweet, I thought, that's not real, surely. Yeah. But I thought, just in case it is, I'll message back. And then the guy messaged me and he was inboxing me and he was like, oh yeah, well, can we do a Zoom call or a Skype call, whatever it was at the time? And I was like, yeah, sweet. And yeah, mate. So then I thought, this is, I think this is real, you know? And yeah, just went from there. I had this Skype call with him, which went really well. In fact, I came off that first phone call with him. I went downstairs to my brother and I was like, I've got that. And he was like, do you reckon? I said, I don't know why, I just got this feeling. Like, that just went really well. And then they sent people to the shop to do a screen test. And that went well as well. And then within, I think it was a week or two, they messaged me and they were like, congratulations, you're going to be on the show. And even then, I didn't know what it was going to be like. Yeah. I thought maybe it'll just be... Well, it was a pilot at first. It was supposed to be just a pilot episode that they were going to put out and see how it did. But we'd filmed the pilot, which took a week. And then they gave that to the channel and the channel just loved it and just commissioned it straight away for a series.
And it broke all records, wasn't it? Millions and millions.
Right, it was.
How was insane. That when you started getting all that attention from somebody who's kind of shy and then boom.
Crazy, mate. Like just.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, just, I can't even explain it, mate. It just opens your eyes to the world, doesn't it? Like seriously, you know, when people start. You know, you brought up, you know, your dad say, don't talk to strangers. Well, you still like that, you know? And so when people go, all right, Jay, and you go, yeah. Or I find I'm walking through town and someone's staring at me, you think, what the fuck's he staring at?
Yeah.
And then they go, all right, Jay, and I go, oh, and then you remember, you think, oh, you know? Yeah. Oh, mate, it's weird. Yeah. It's weird.
Did you handle it okay?
Yeah, for me, what it is that...
You seem very level-headed anyway.
Yeah, it's... You know what I mean? Do you know what, mate? It's one of them things, isn't it? At the end of the day, I know how I used to see people who were on TV, and if I saw them in the street, I mean, I wasn't the type who would say anything to anyone, but I'd think, oh, fucking hell, it's so-and-so.
Yeah.
So I get it, you know what I mean? But, and, you know, there'd be times where sometimes it was so hectic, you know? I mean, I remember my birthday a few years back, and when it was massive at this point, and me and my missus went out in Chester, and we were like this all night, but we didn't speak. Because there were so many people the whole night, and we ended up having to go home because we just didn't get to spend any time with each other. And it wasn't, I don't hate it or anything, but it's just, you know, sometimes it's quite a lot, you know?
Yeah, because it's an illusion, isn't it? It is kind of fake, but you don't seem the type of guy to tell someone no for a photo, or you'd probably just, if someone come up to you and you were eating your steak or whatever, you would still talk to them, even though it was going cold.
Do you know what it is? I think as well, for every person that does it, that's their first time meeting you. Even though it might have been the 40th person that's come up to you in the last hour, it's still that person's first time meeting you.
Yeah.
So, and it only takes, you know, one person to just say, oh, he's a prick.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not a prick, so you don't want to come across like that.
Yeah, it's people pleasing as well. When I was at his petrol station today, I actually met two people who watched the podcast, which is weird in Chester.
Yeah.
And again, the boy waited as well. I've seen someone get in and then, when I came out, the boy actually waited.
Did he?
And he jumped out and he said, stop waiting, and ended up getting a photo. But it's
how do you
weird.
Find it?
Yeah, I think it's weird. I enjoy it though.
Yeah.
I'm kind of creepy that way, mate. I'm a egotistic vegan. Yeah. I will get a big sign saying podcast host, James English. Yeah, I don't mind that. Saying that as well, but I can be a recluse back home in Glasgow. I'm not out much. I'll hit the mountains. I'll do things because it is fake. It is bullshit.
Yeah.
And you need to be careful because that is a bit of self-seeking as well, where you don't want to think you're better than anybody or put yourself in a pedestal because it doesn't mean shit.
No, it doesn't mean shit.
But yeah, it's good that people watch your stuff. It is very rewarding.
It's nice, isn't it?
You're coming across okay, but
that's it.
It is fake.
It is, you know, it's crazy because, you know, before getting on the TV and stuff, no one comes up to you and is like, oh my God, it's you. It's like, you know, and then suddenly everyone wants to know who you are and wants to be your mate. Yeah. And so you have to be careful as well because I've got a very small circle, my family and my close friends, and that's it. And you're very wary about letting someone else into that.
Of course.
Because you don't know what people's intentions
are. Yeah, nowadays there's video phones or screenshots. Yeah. people are, there's a lot of sharks at the side when you're successful. People want to do well, and if people watch your stuff, they feel as if they know you.
Yeah.
So when they speak to you, you don't want to big them. So I'll try and carry the conversation on and get clues to who they are, what their dog is, or who's your dad. Or, you try and get clues to it, and then you just realise, okay, they watched my stuff.
But they do know you to a point. They know a certain side of you.
Yeah.
But you don't know them at all. So it's easy for them because they've got stuff to say to you and talk to you. But really, you're just like, how are you?
Yeah, but it's a great thing. And that all comes with the territory. Do you know what I mean? They're the ones who's paying your bills because they're the ones who's watching. That's so you've got to give your respect to people who's respecting you.
That's it.
How did the team come about, Alice and Sketch? How did they come, the team?
So I got the tweet and it went from there, and they said, once they told me I'd got it, they were like, will you come down to London? I think it might have been September or October, something like that, to start filming. And over time, they let me know who the other artists were. And at the time, it was a girl called Lou, Sketch, and then Paisley, was obviously Paisley's receptionist. But they were like, oh, don't, you're not allowed to say anything yet, you know, because it's not out there that we're doing it. So don't say anything, don't put anything on your social media. And then Sketch posted a picture of me, him and Lou, and was like, Channel 4's new dream team. And I was thinking, I didn't even know him at this point. I was like, what is this? I thought, anyway, he had to take it down. And then I met them for the first time in a pub the night before we started filming the pilot. So I'd never met them before, we never spoke, and we literally just went to a pub and we were talking like this, and we just clicked.
Yeah.
And to be honest, we were all in the same boat, you know, none of us knew anything about being filmed on camera and about telly. We just went there, and all we just knew was that we were tattooists.
All different characters as well.
And luckily, we got on.
Yeah.
Because it could have been different if we didn't.
Yeah, because you've got to enjoy your work, do you know what I mean? In that industry, people can get too big for their boots.
Well, that's it.
As
And then... Lou, we did the first season, and then Lou decided it wasn't for her, for her personal reasons, so she left. And then we basically, they said, oh, we're going to have to replace her with another girl. And they had like three people lined up, and we did like chemistry tests with them. And then there was three girls, and Alice was, we all of us just said, once we did it with Alice, we don't need to see the others, like, she's it. And and then that's when it took off properly, when Alice got on it. Because the chemistry between us all was that she was the missing link.
How many people would you get in a day when you were filming?
One each.
So it was just one each?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'd film in the morning, film the consultations, and then we'd have maybe, well, it could be a 9-hour tattoo, you know?
Yeah.
And then after that, we'd have to film, obviously, the reveals in the mirror. And yeah, so some of these days were
18, like, 20 hour days.
Long days.
Yeah. So if you're doing a sitting at 9 hours, 10 hours, how does your hands feel? How does your mindset feel? How do you feel?
It's knackering, mate. It's knackering because you've got up early to go in and do the stuff anyway. So, and the thing is with tattooing, you concentrate so hard, and you can't really take many breaks for long because.
You lose rhythm?
Not that you lose rhythm, but it's time. You know, this person's in pain. This job, like for instance, a portrait has to be done in one session because you can't put the stencil on, do half of it, and then rub it off and stick the other half on next time. You couldn't match it up. It'd be almost impossible.
Yeah.
So stuff like portraits has to be done in one. And now that might depend on the size of it, the detail of it, the person, how well they're sitting for it. Could take me 8-9 hours. Could take me 4 or 5 hours.
What's your longest ever tattoo?
That I've ever done?
Yeah. And one sitting?
9 hours. Oof. No, 12 hours. Mm. 12 hours. But that wasn't on the show. This is when I was about 19 in the shop I used to work in. There was a guy came in and that was a cover-up as well. Fucking hell. And he wanted a half sleeve right round completed in a day because he was going back to, I don't know, South Wales or somewhere and he needed it done. Wow.
And you done it?
Yeah.
Oof. And you would you tattoo anywhere?
No,
what, assholes are nah.
Do you know what it is? It's just I just don't want it.
Yeah,
you know I've got a choice.
Do people ask though?
Oh, I've had people ask over the years to tattoo stuff, and I
like
just
dick,
fanny. Yeah, not it's just
eyeballs.
It's not the same. It's an injection that sort thing. Oh. I think it's an injection of ink. I don't know how they do it. It's not an actual tattooist that does that.
Yeah.
Well, if you did, you'd blind someone. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works completely, but it's, I don't understand it either. Mm. I don't know why you'd risk your eyesight.
Is it dangerous getting like your vein in the neck if they tattoo?
No. Well, not if you know what you're doing. Yeah. You know, if you're getting tattooed by someone at home that doesn't know what they're doing and haven't sterilized their needles or, you know, put it in too deep, then yeah, of course. But no, professional tattoos, isn't it? There's no danger of that.
Fuck's sake, never happened here. What's the worst cover up you've ever done?
Oh, God. Do you know what? I get asked this question a lot, and my mind always goes blank. But do you know, I've seen so many.
Yeah.
And let me think. I don't know. In terms of the quality of the tattoo that people have, most of them are as bad as each other. It's more so the story behind why they've got it.
Yeah.
Like, I saw Tattoo Fix was on the other night, and I forget what was on it. I forget even who I tattooed. Mm-hmm. People walk in, and I think, I don't remember tattooing him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, these people come in, and there was one the other night, and it was a guy... It was a Valentine's special, and a guy came in with his missus, and he had this terrible tattoo. He goes, I've got to get it rid of it for her, because this was for my ex. So we were like, oh yeah, what's it going to mean? She was like, yeah, and he goes, it's just really uncomfortable for her. So he pulls it down, but it's half lasered off, so you can't really see what it says.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what does that say? And he says, will you marry me? And it was for his ex missus. And we were just like, oh my God. And their face, mate, his missus' face was just like, And you could tell he felt awkward. And I thought, oh God, this is horrible. Mm-hmm. Horrible.
It's crazy though, if you're in love or someone passes away or whatever, your thought changes different when you think the tattoos are going to be. Okay, I'll go with that. But one in six that have the regret their tattoo?
Is it? Yeah. I don't know.
That's right. I read that today, so I just got that information today.
Did you?
Yeah. One in six.
They're not my customers, are they?
Oh, no, mate. If they keep fainting, mate, maybe. One in six, they say, regret their tattoos. That's a lot.
It is.
Because the majority of people now have tattoos.
Do you know what? A lot of the time, though, I blame the person getting the tattoo because I think it doesn't take much to research... Yeah. A good tattoo artist. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of them out there. Like we get a lot of credit, but that's because we're the ones that you see on the telly.
Yeah,
there's amazing tattooists all over the UK and all over the world. Yeah.
It's weird, man. But the styles change. Like you look at back in the day, it was like nudie women on the arms.
Yeah,
and then it was like barbed wire around the arms. Now you've got sleeves.
Yeah,
everything changes. That's why it's still scary, but. It's still scary now to get a tattoo because the styles change as well.
That's it.
Every 5 and 10 years.
I always say to people, don't get something for fashion. Fashion always changes. Mm-hmm. So I think people forget, you know, that this tattoo is going to be there forever. Mm-hmm. And they get it in the time because at the time everyone's maybe having tribal or everyone's having Polynesian.
The tribal one was massive back in the day.
Yeah, when From Dusk Till Dawn come out and George Clooney had it all there. Yeah. Everyone was like, that's sick, I'll get that. And you get all these lads getting it and that... I don't know anyone that's got one now that likes that. not one. I've never seen anyone in this day and age say to me, I love this tribal.
Only ones you do is probably like the New Zealand, the All Blacks are...
Yeah, that, the Polynesian stuff. Yeah. That's different. Like the Rock Scott and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different.
Do you know what I mean? That means something to them, doesn't it?
Yeah, like I think someone... I don't know how true it is, but I think someone said that the Rocks tells the story of his life.
Yeah.
But you know what? You get a lot of people who go, I want the same tattoo as The Rock. I'm like, you do know that that's the story of The Rock's life,
yeah? Yeah, don't
you
care.
Still
want it.
But it looks cool. Mm-hmm. Mate, okay.
How did it come about? Because you met Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
With a tattoo, is that correct?
Yeah, so what happened was I left New Skin, where I used to work, to open my own studio in Ellesmereport. And when I opened, so I've gone... 45, 50 minutes down the road from where my reputation is good to somewhere completely new. Sorry, mate.
That's okay, bro.
Fucking phoning me. Sorry, mate.
That's okay.
So I've gone 45, 50 minutes down the road and it's almost like starting fresh. I've got to start a new reputation now. So I've opened the shop. I'm 21. And I was thinking, how can I make this shop different? People need to buy into me because there's tattoo shops everywhere. Well, I know my work's good, so I need to make them buy into me and the experience they have here and stuff. So I thought, if I could get recognised by a celebrity or tattoo a celebrity here, you know, and then it gets in the paper or something, you know, in the local paper, people start talking. builds up momentum, really. So I said to my brother one day, I was like, let me do a portrait of Mike Tyson on you. And he was like, all right, cool. So I did this portrait of Mike Tyson. And what I used to do was I used to go on Twitter, and anyone that was on Twitter now, so say like if you were on there and you tweeted, I know you're active. Doesn't matter what you've written, I know you're active. So if I reply to you saying, tattoos by Jay Hutton, follow me, and I post my work with it, I just hound you, mm-hmm. and then hound every celebrity that I follow on Twitter. Chances they might see it and go, oh, his work's sick, I might get a tattoo off him. Mm-hmm. Or they might block me because they think I'm spamming the fuck out and hate it. So, but either way, it's a win-win, doesn't matter. So I used to do that, and I just used to spam celebrities all mm-hmm. the time on Twitter. Tattoos by Jay Hutton, follow me. And loads of people followed me. Loads of them started following mm-hmm. me. A few blocked me, like. yeah. But then that started building momentum and people talking. And then I did the tattoo of Mike Tyson, tweeted that out, and then he tweeted about it. And he put this thing. And then the next morning people phoned me going, Mike Tyson's tweeted about your tattoo, mate. Blah, blah, blah. So I went on there. And I was like, shit. So I was retweeting it. Then he inboxed me saying, make a Tumblr account of all the tattoos you've done on me and I'll share it. But he wasn't following me, but mm-hmm. I was following him. But at the time, I don't know what it's like on Twitter now, but I couldn't message him because mm-hmm. he wasn't following me. So I was just thinking, what the fuck is Tumblr? Like, mm-hmm. so I need to get onto this. So I got onto Tumblr mm-hmm. and I just did more tattoos on my brother mm-hmm. and I took pictures of him and I put them all in this Tumblr mm-hmm. account and I did it and he shared it, mate. That's he did class, actually share it.
Yeah.
So then he was doing a boxing event in Liverpool, like a dinner, and he talks about his life and stuff, and then you have a picture with him and whatnot. And so we went to that, mm-hmm. and my brother came with me, and we showed him the tattoo, and he was like, oh, yeah. Like, and then his guys were taking pictures mm-hmm. of it and stuff like that. Yeah. So, yeah, mate, it was good.
He seems a nutcase, man. I'd love to get him on a podcast one day. He's an absolute legend for what he's done in the boxing ring. He's doing. He's flying now. Have you seen the videos?
I couldn't believe
Unbelievable.
It. He's, I saw something about him taking stem cells or something, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's what they're all doing in America.
Stem cell treatment, yeah.
Mel Gibson shit's taking them, because I've heard him on...
He's in good shape as well, isn't he?
So the stem cells, they say it regenerates everything.
Yeah.
You get that from your umbilical cord.
Is that what it is?
We cut it, though. You can get... So they say we get stem cells from your umbilical cord, so when we cut it, you lose all the proper nutrients, apparently. So we cut it straight away as kids, and as you get older, your stem cells drop.
Oh, really?
So... Once you're in your 30s, 40s, you've got, when you're born, it's like billions or trillions, whatever. And as years go on, it drops. But so when they inject them into muscle parts or things that are, they can, because you can grow your own teeth and shit back now. It's so weird, mate.
Really?
Yeah.
From stem cells?
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah. You can inject your stuff and that's saying it's growing your teeth back. It's fucking nuts what they're coming up with, but it's expensive.
Yeah. They don't have it done in America, though, do they? Because I sort of think...
I think maybe Mexico or stuff.
Something like that,
illegal,
yeah. I think I saw Dan Bilzerian posted it, then he gets it done mm-hmm. and he was like, oh, they still don't make this fucking legal in America.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, so... But anything they probably don't make illegal is probably apparently good for you anyway, so some things anyway.
But he's an amazing Nick, Mike Tyson now.
Yeah, yeah, flying. I think he's getting a fight soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's rapid, isn't he?
Yeah. I don't think he'll ever lose it, though.
Nah.
I need to get some of those stem cells, mate. You know what I mean?
We'll be like that. We're like getting 45. I might get some stem cell treatment.
But see the people who blocked you, did you ever see them when you started hitting the big time yourself?
No, I didn't actually, no. And do you know what? I'm not the type of person to go, unless they came and spoke to me, I'd say, you blocked me, you know. Other than that, no, I haven't seen any of them, no, but just get on with it.
Yeah. So you're 3 years on the show, mm-hmm. obviously the platform that you've got, you went mega.
Yeah.
How were you dealing with it at the end up? Did it become a lot for you?
What the...
Just on the show all the time, getting all the attention...
Yeah, it was mad because we obviously did the show and we were filming the show is hectic, it's long. Yeah. So I'd go down to London and it was like 3 months, I think, to film a series. I'd like be down there for maybe 5-6 days, home for a day, down there for another week, 2 weeks mm-hmm. maybe, home for 2 days. So I was down there a lot. I lived down there basically. And then as the show gets bigger and bigger, you start hearing things like, you need a manager now. And we were like, a manager, what for? And they were like, well, you'll do things from it. You know, they'll deal with anything else that comes into your work. And I was like, oh, right, okay. You're oblivious to it all, you know?
Yeah.
And then you get a manager and they're like, oh, yeah, you can do these PAs. And we were like, what's a PA? And they were like, oh, it's where you go to a club and, mm-hmm. you know, people have pictures, come and pay to have pictures with you. And we were like, really? And they were like, yeah. And we were like, me and Sketch were like, so we get paid to have a night out? Yeah. And they were like, yeah. What? So they'll provide you drinks. Mm-hmm. You can have a VIP table. I'm thinking, mate, do you know how many times I've gone out to Liverpool and had to pay so much money just to try again? We used to go to Liverpool nights out, me and my brother and my mates, and we had to pay and book a table just so we'd have a chance of getting in.
Yeah.
Because we used to get there and they'd go, not tonight, lads.
Not back.
Yeah, so many times I go to a club, even here, Chester. Yeah. The amount of times I come here on a night out and they go, not tonight, lads, it's not your night. And we'd be like, why? And they go, it's not your night. And you'd think, are you taking the piss? Well, they started paying me to go there then. I was just like, well, you know, let me in.
So you dealt with everything okay then?
Yeah, it was hectic. Those PAs were an eye-opener.
Yeah.
Because you walk into, like the first one we ever did was... They said, oh, you're going to go to this place in Southampton, I think it was. Pop World, it was. And we were like, I'd never even heard of it.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, okay. So me and Sketch were doing it together. And we were just like, what if no one turns up? What if we just walk in? There's like three people. And we're like, no one's seen it. We get outside. We get there. Outside, not a person in the queue. Mm-hmm. There's no queue. And we were just like, oh, my God, this is going to be embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Well, we walked in there, mate. It was crazy.
What was that?
They opened these doors. Bright red. I just went bright red, mate. Everything screaming, throwing knickers and stuff at you. We were just like, what the fuck? We looked like two little scared little boys, but it was mental, mate. Yeah,
that's all part of the journey as well. Did you ever go to Glasgow?
Yeah, I've been to Glasgow a few times.
Where did you go? Do you remember?
No, Savoy, maybe. The what?
The Savoy.
That rings a bell. I might have done that,
You usually do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think I have done that.
Plenty of knickers up there, mate. Trust me, man. God. Dirty ones at that, mate. I'm sorry, mate.
Yeah, I've been there. Been Edinburgh. Yeah, I've just been all over Scotland, actually,
An experience, a world win for you, all that.
Yeah, hectic. Yeah. But to be fair, I got used to it. Obviously, you just get used to what you adapt, don't you, to what you're doing. So the PA started becoming normal then. And I was getting used to the screaming and stuff. And then I said to my brother one day, I was like, you should come to a PA. I said to him and my mate, I said, I was doing one local actually in North Wales. And I said, oh, you should come with us. And I told them what they were like.
Yeah.
And they were just like, yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Mate, they came to this one that I did in North Wales, 1,200 people. 1,200 people were there, And they, it's embarrassing really, because they're like, and now... Star of Tattoo Fixers, Jay Hutt, like you're fucking Justin Bieber or something, bring you out the floor, you know? Yeah. Oh, mate, and I'm not like, you know, you see these lads on Geordie Shore and they're dead confident and they walk out there and they're just like,
yeah.
I'm not like that, mate. So they announced me on the stage and a few screaming, I'm just like, something, you're right.
Yeah.
What do I do here now? Yeah. Like, and I'm not a performer,
but
do you know
what
I
mean? You dealt with it well, even on camera. You seem confident as fuck. You seem calm and confident.
Do you know what it is?
I think a lot, I think you'd be surprised, like people for Geordie Shore, Only Way is Essex, that had Tommy Mallet on yesterday.
Yeah.
A lot of them are struggling with mental health. A lot of that is a mask. So you probably dealt with it. Like I say, you're very level headed, gentlemen. Yeah. So you probably dealt with it a lot better than you think.
Yeah, do you know what? I just, you know, when you were saying before, it's fake.
Yeah.
I know it's not real.
Yeah.
So my life before it was real and is real. You know, man, I what my core beliefs are and who I am as a person, that's always it.
Yeah.
This will come and it'll go.
Yeah.
It's not forever.
Yeah.
So I think you just, and the reason I probably come across quite confident on the telly is because I'm confident in my, tattooing is my environment.
Your craft.
So, I am confident in that. So if you come into my tattoo shop, that's what I'm like. But I suppose if you threw me into something I'm not confident in, you wouldn't be the same person, really, you know?
Was that one of the decisions why you left the show? Because you wanted family life? Congratulations on getting married, by the way.
Thank you, cheers.
Because you realised it is all fake, but you at a stage you did manifest that life.
Yeah, no, do you know what? It's not, I can recognise that it's not real. It's all a perception. But... you know, it's a great opportunity as well to build, you know, my business and my personal stuff. So, yeah, I do, opportunities will come and I'll take them on the chin. I think you've got to take it as it comes, haven't you?
Yeah. But did you just want a break from it?
Yeah, it wasn't so much
that. Was that a tough decision?
Well, I think what happened was, you know, Tattoo Fixers is all about cover-ups mainly. And I just got to the point where I was doing cover-ups constantly and that's all right, but I felt quite stagnant in my tattooing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm always going to be... And even though I do the odd portrait and stuff, you know, my thing is that my focus in tattooing is more realism and portraits and realistic pictures and stuff like that. And I knew I'm better than what I can do on that. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to take some time out and focus on my tattooing and get myself up to what I know I'm capable of.
Yeah.
Because, you know, cover-ups, I know people think they're great and stuff like that, but there's only so much you can do with the cover-up. So say if I'm covering something up with a crow, I can only make that crow mm-hmm. look as good as it can with a cover-up underneath it.
Yeah.
It's not going to look the same as what it would do if I did it fresh. Yeah.
So you don't feel fulfilled, like, even though it looks okay, it doesn't look like a portrait, it doesn't look like...
I never get fulfilled with tattoos yeah. anyway, because I mm-hmm. think that the moment I start thinking, yeah, that was perfect.
Yeah.
I always aim for perfect, mm-hmm. but I don't feel like you'll ever achieve it because yeah. there's so much... you'd never stop learning in tattooing. And I think the moment you think you know it all and you think you've got it, is the moment all these young ones who are coming up from college and doing it will just go past you and you'll be left behind.
Did you see the rise in people want to do be a tattoo artist once yeah. your show came out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that Miami Ink made tattooing popular to the public. Mm-hmm. And I would say now that Tattoo Fix is in the UK, obviously it's in the UK, it's not in America or anything, but I mean, it's in a lot of different countries, but I'd say that it's brought... the side to tattooing where people are more interested in getting tattooed now, because I think when we go back to what we're talking about with perception of a tattoo shop, I can tell now when I meet people that their perception of a tattoo shop is what they see on Tattoo Fixers. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of tattoo artists who probably get pissed off with that because yeah. their shop isn't like that,
yeah.
which is fair enough. You know, everyone's got the right to run their shop, their business how they want. But that is just how my shop is and how Sketch's shop would be and Alice's shop would mm-hmm. be. And you know.
See, the shops I used to see is like, they used to have like white boards,
yeah,
like loads of tattoos, and I used to just swipe through them yeah. and then pick one. Yeah. Did you ever have anyone come in with a tattoo and you kind of go, oh, was anybody saying, no, I wouldn't do that tattoo?
I've done that. I've turned away loads over yeah. the years. Oh, mate, so many. You know, sometimes you just cannot come to an agreement with a customer on their tattoo because they have this idea of what they think is going to work. And I'll say, that's not going to work, mm-hmm. but this will work. They might not like that. So we have obviously a consultation, and 9 times out of 10, I can persuade someone to just trust me to what I'll do.
Yeah.
I mean, now after watching the show, a lot of people just trust me instantly anyway. What yeah. I say, they'll just go with it. Yeah. But before that, people are like, no, but I want this. And you can go back and forth. And sometimes you do come to the mm-hmm. point where you just go, you need to find someone yeah. else, mate, because it's not for me.
Because you've got a lot of tattoos as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
Who does yours?
I've done a few different people. My brother's done a couple. I've done loads on myself. The lad who taught me to tattoo's done a few.
Have you had any cover-ups?
I tattooed myself when I first started tattooing. I wrote good times on my leg. I don't know why. Just practicing. Just needed some writing. Just had a good practice. And then I covered that up with this. I wanted to practice a portrait, so I did a caricature portrait of Scarface on my leg, which is, I mean, it was good, mm-hmm. but I hate it. It's shit. It's like the image is just, you know, it was my age mm-hmm. back then. So I don't regret any of them, because I always say this, you know, people say, do you regret your tattoos? And I think, no, I don't regret them, because I practiced on myself and that's helped me get to where I am today. Yeah. So I don't regret them. I mean, I wish I had better ones, obviously, but, you know, yeah. I can't do nothing about it.
Why does American see like their tattoos? There's a lot more colours. And why does American tattoos seem different from tattoos in UK?
Styles? I don't know, really. I don't know. I think that maybe just...
Is that just me talking?
It's probably mainstream, that maybe what you just see in the mainstream. But I think what I see, I see tattooists all over the world doing the same stuff we do. And I think it depends who you follow, doesn't it? Like, I follow loads of tattooists all over the world, so I see... completely.
There's
I mean
a lot more colors getting used, but
the color work now is just
like 3D.
yeah There's a guy, actually a mate of mine, who's an amazing tattooist called David Corden. He's in Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, his portrait color work is second to none. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
You're a massive Liverpool fan.
Yeah.
How are you feeling after lifting the trophy last night?
Did you support?
Yeah, Celtic.
Oh, do you? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Celtic used to have the Liverpool connection.
Yeah.
Because obviously Walk-On and Kenny Dalglish. But
yeah.
I think there's an Irish connection there. But because obviously Gerrard's went to Rangers now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of all fucked up.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? But yeah, mate, oh, I'm absolutely... It's just the
it's the happiest I've seen you, bro.
Well, I've never seen Liverpool win the title. Yeah. I'm 30, so the last time they won it was when I was born. Mm. I jinxed them, obviously. so, yeah, no, it's... mate, I just... Buzzing, yeah. Absolutely buzzing. It's just amazing. I was just gutted last night. There's no crowd there, you know.
Yeah, shite that, isn't it?
So I don't understand really in terms of like why they couldn't have done like maybe 5,000 people in there and spread them out over the whole stadium, you know.
But again, it will happen again starting next season. But
yeah,
fair play to you, man. It is weird. It's such a weird time, mate.
Yeah,
it's just a weird time. Even the hotels last night, it's like no one about.
No, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's only just become normal, like round out and in about in town, isn't it? So, you know, now it feels normal now. Mm-hmm. Apart from obviously when you go into some of the shops and you have to queue and. You know, the only thing that I find weird now is that you're walking past people on the street and everyone walks around you like this, like you're infected, as if zombie or something.
Start coughing and sneezing, mate. I just want a break, mate. So, plans for the future, brother? You've had a great career so far.
Yeah.
Your shop's back opened.
Yeah.
Have you got any visions, goals that?
Yeah, I've got some big stuff planned in my head that I'm working on something with my brother. I can't really say what it is because we're going to drop it in the next few months. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're working on something quite special. Yeah.
Yeah, you excited?
Yeah, really excited. You just get a feeling about certain things that, you know, I started a podcast a while ago.
Yeah, good.
And I just got to the point with it that I didn't realise how much work would be in it in terms of how much I would have to put into it as well as my shop. And I just found out by doing it, I didn't really have the time to do it, which was a shame because I was looking forward to doing it. I did a couple, but you know, I was doing it all myself.
But you can always get back to it.
Yeah, eventually.
What's
maybe.
What's it called?
It was called The Jay Hutton Show.
That's fucking simple, that, isn't it?
That's it, yeah.
Where can people still get the podcast to tune in?
Yeah, just on my YouTube channel.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, you just type in my name.
But it can always be there.
Yeah.
You can always pick it up.
Yeah, it's one of them things. I've got all the stuff there, but I was doing it all myself, and I didn't really anticipate how much time and effort I'd have to put into that and think I could do that as well as having my shop. I didn't really have the time, really, so I put it on hold for a while now. So
people think it's easy.
They do.
I'm just gifted.
You're a grafter. You're just a grafter.
I work like fuck, mate. But again, I want to be successful, mate. I want to leave a legacy. I want to keep doing what I'm doing, keep chipping away, staying on the path. But people, it ain't easy, as you say. It's no easy to talk and travel. And if you're editing stuff yourself, all that shit's difficult.
What were you doing before all this?
I mean, I was like a local Del Boy.
Were you?
Ducking and diving, mate. Yeah. And then I changed my life, mate.
What made you want to do it?
Just love talking. Do you know what I mean? I stopped drinking, I stopped taking drugs, I stopped gambling, I stopped a lot of negative stuff in my life.
Yeah.
Found a path. I watched a lot of Joe Rogan. I like Russell Brand and stuff as well. So I thought, I can beat that. I can do that.
Yeah.
I said, there's nobody in Scotland doing it. So now we're number one in Scotland. The way I'm going, I'll be number one in the UK by the end of the year. And then I'll go worldwide with it.
That's amazing.
I believe in myself. Like I say, I manifest everything that I believe. As long as I can stay true to me, like I say, all the fake shit as well. A wee bit of ego stroke in there. And people, you can self-seek too much where I'll put a post out, but it's irrelevant. I just want some attention.
Yeah.
I'm identifying all that shit. Yeah. So you need to be careful.
Yeah.
I'm very grounded anyway. And
you got to be.
Yeah, I just love it, man, what we're doing. Like guests like yourself coming on today, Tony Bell, you, and it's just massive. It's only going to get bigger and better. Do you know what I mean? So I just need to stay in the path, brother.
And like, it's good that obviously with the lockdown, like you said, people are hammering their phones and
I'm
YouTube
addicted to my phone myself.
Yeah. It's hard, mate, isn't it?
I'm addicted to my phone.
It's crazy, isn't it? You just do, don't you? You find yourself, you have to be careful, mate, because you find yourself locked in that thing too much. And you
10 hours a day.
Mate, it's too much, isn't
it? Fucking heavy, mate.
You realise, you think, what I've done today?
I seen that. A retreat was going, I was going to actually do a retreat. It was like a 10-day silence retreat. Just no phone, just silence, no talking or nothing.
Yeah,
it was like a...
What, are you going to do that?
I was going to do it.
That's
I was going
shout.
To do it, mate, just to recharge, rewire the brain. They say after 7 days, switching your phone off or not looking at a phone rewires your brain back to
a
normal
state. Yeah, I would imagine it would,
Because it's fake light, it's fake attention.
Yeah.
It's fucking heavy, mate.
It is. You do have to stay off it. I was the same, I found the point, you don't realise that you're on your phone as much until someone says, do you know what, you're on your phone a lot.
Yeah.
And you think, I just find I'm just watching videos on YouTube all the time or whatnot. And I did the same. I thought, do you know what, I'm going to have a detox. And I did 7 days without it.
You done 30 days because you're looking great, by the way.
Oh, jeez,
what did you do? Are you back training? What's your daily routine like just now?
Well, at the moment, the thing with lockdown, obviously all the gyms shut, didn't they? Yeah. So I was going to the gym and stuff. That 30-day challenge I did a couple of years ago, and that was really good, yeah. I think I'm one of these people that if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. So when I once I said I was doing 30 days and I put it out there for people who are following me to see. You know, you're holding yourself accountable then to those people, aren't you? So I did that. The only thing I found was that I felt skinny. Yeah. Felt I looked in good shape, probably on pictures and stuff.
What weight were you?
Probably about 11 and a half stone.
Oh, that is fucking late, man.
Yeah, I was light. But yeah, I mean, I looked well in pictures, but if you see me in real life, I probably looked a bit gaunt. And like my family were saying to me, you look a bit thin. You're like, you've lost a lot of weight. And then people would say to me, saw me in the street, go, you look different than what you do on telly. Mm-hmm. And well, that's because I've got 13 stone on telly. Uh-huh.
Were you training hard for the telly as well to keep in shape?
Well, I was. When I started, yeah, I was. But while you're there, you can't train. Yeah. So you can only do like press-ups in your room and stuff like that. But because you're working all day and there's... I mean, I did try at one point while I was filming there to get up extra early and go to the gym or go after I'd finished filming.
Too tired.
You're too knackered. It's too long.
Do you get
long.
Burned out? Do they use you a lot as well? Even though it's a good platform, do you get burned out where you're in the game?
You'd get ill all the time. You get colds and just feel a little
did
bit
Did you get
ill.
To speak to anybody about mental health or to people to how to work with things, pressures? Because life's a fucking pressure without all the attention, the trolls as well.
Yeah.
When all that shit comes as well, it adds on that extra pressure. This is where... It's heavy. Mental health is a massive thing just now.
It is massive, you know, mate. I mean? It is. But I just didn't... I don't know what it was. I just didn't buy into it all, really. Yeah. As much as I enjoyed it, like, we got a lot of stick at one point for tattoo fixers. Don't know, really. I just think that a lot of the tattoo industry didn't really like some of the work that was on there. And obviously, they have their own opinion. They think they're better than you, and you know, which is, you know, it's difference of opinion. That's fine. You're going to get it. It doesn't bother me, you know? It bothers some of the others, but
that's a bit of jealousy as well, bro.
Yeah, you know, I think you just got to see what it was. And what I think you got to remember is that, you know, when people are writing shit to you on the internet or sending you shitty messages or making shitty comments, you just, in my head, I just think, you know, it doesn't really, it can only affect you if you let it go in. But really, I think I would never write a shitty comment to someone I didn't know about the way they look or something like that. Do you know what I mean? So I think if you're going to do that, it says more about you.
Yeah, of course, that's the deflection.
I think if you can establish that and believe that, because it's true, then yeah, I think you'll be sweet.
Yeah, it's become more thick-skinned. And like I say, that just shows you how sad their life is. At the start, man, I was unboxing people, send me your number, meet me here. I was gone, mate.
The same. Like people would give him some stick and he would be like, getting raised. And I'd be like, mate, fuck him.
It's watered off a duck's back now. You know that.
You do.
People are unhappy in their own lives.
And the thing is, sometimes I might write like a little sarky thing back, like a funny thing back. I quite like the banter sometimes. But you know, some people just get too... into it, and I just think ignore it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, once you start commenting back, they just reel you in. They're always going to come back.
You've given them your energy, and then when you block them, they post as if to say it's like, oh, I've got my badge and shit.
Yeah.
I blocked you because you're a fucking asshole. Yeah. I just don't want to see your piss.
I just block them.
Do you know what I mean?
Since if people write a shitty comment, I just go delete.
Yeah.
I just whatever.
But you're very well liked though. You've got millions of followers, so you're very well liked. I've never seen any negative comments. I've never heard anybody say anything nasty about you.
Yeah, no, it's nice. That's nice, but I think it's good. I don't know. Maybe I just focus on, you know, I didn't get into TV to be famous. Mm-hmm. My goal was to boost my profile for my businesses.
Yeah.
So for my shop and stuff, and I, you know, when someone comes to you and says you can do tattooing on telly. You're not going to say no,
of course,
because your business is going to be ruined.
Plus,
at the time, I was teaching my brother to tattoo, and I thought, well, you know, it's going to be good for us both. This, you know, we'll both be able to make a good living, and you know, at the end of the day, I do all what I do for my family. That's it.
Is your family proud?
Yeah, really proud. Yeah. We're so like my mum and dad and my brother are my best mates, all three of them.
Yeah.
We are tight. Like
that's a beautiful thing. That
yeah. And that, you know, that's it. I think you have like you said, I've got a couple of mates. I've got my missus, my couple of mates, and my family. I don't need anyone else.
Kids?
No, not got no kids yet. No, not yet.
Oh,
not yet.
There we go. The pressure's on.
Yeah, not yet. Not
would
yet.
You?
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, definitely want kids at some point.
Just
but
focused on the what now?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think when you get married and stuff, people want you, they go, kids now. kids now.
Yeah.
But I'm not someone who lets people pressure me into doing stuff.
You got married early, 28.
Yeah, 28. Well, we got together, and then I proposed to her after about 8 months. And then, yeah, we got married within a year after that. So
how did she deal with the attention that you were getting, receiving?
She's fine with it, yeah, mate.
That's a good thing.
It's one of the reasons I married her. Yeah, you know? Yeah. She's sound.
A lot of jealousy can come with that game. And you can understand why, do you know what I mean? Because, again, mate, it's just your show was watched millions of times, man.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. It's fucking nuts.
It's funny because before, when we and Sketch first met each other, me and him really became really tight. And we were just like, imagine if it like goes mental and we become famous. Imagine if we become famous. We used to say that to each other. And we were like, nah, it won't happen. But, and then it did. And we were just like, so me and him really experienced a lot of stuff together.
Yeah.
You know, like we did a lot of PAs together. And, you
that
know,
helps.
Yeah.
Because it can be a lonely journey.
Yeah, we had each other back a lot through some of the stuff that went on there, you know, with the some of the trolling and stuff. We had each other's backs big time because it was only us in it, do you know what I mean? And we were, you know, there's a lot of people that are behind the scenes on these TV shows, but it's the ones on camera that get it, you know. So we all had to just be tight and look after
each other. Are you all still friends?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't see each other as much. Yeah. Obviously, we haven't seen each other for months now, but... Yeah, we know we keep in touch and we all...
What was it like to see them back on without you?
I'm just happy for them, mate. Yeah. Like, I left. I didn't leave on bad terms or anything. There was no bad blood and, you know, anything like that. It was just the time for me to take some time out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted the show to do well. The show is what... We all built that show together, you know, from the directors, the producers, Channel 4, the staff, us together. We all built that show together. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm proud of that show, like even though I'm not on it anymore. And even if it takes off and does well, you know, I was part of the creation of it. So yeah. I'm happy whatever it does, mate.
But you must have a lot of other opportunities that obviously you can't say, but people want to work with you. Oh, he's got a smiley. We've got an exclusive, yeah.
No,
you must have other avenues that you could go down. Could you potentially ever go back?
Christmas
special or something shit like that.
I never say never. It depends. Yeah. It depends on the circumstances and what was what it was about. Really, I don't know. We'll see. I never know. But
where is your shop?
Ellesmere Port. So
people can look in your Instagram and book in straight away. How is that for you then? Does it not feel weird that people will just book in, probably even not want a fucking tattoo, but they just want you to do it?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's hectic because I deal with all my own emails now.
Yeah.
So we used to have a lad who helped out with it. He was a mate of ours that we'd known since we were kids. And he helped out a couple of times, like when he was off, he'd come in, sit around, and we'd say, oh, can you answer some emails for us? And he'd do that. Anyway, found out he was nicking and stuff.
You're joking. Thieving bastard.
Yeah, so... So then I decided, you know, I'm going to have to just answer these myself. You can't trust people, you know, if I've known this lad since I was a kid. So, but, you know, it is what it is. Just cut these people out.
Mm-hmm.
So now I deal with it all myself. So it's hectic to get through, you know, and obviously people
more
get
fan
frustrated.
Mail. Pardon? Fan mail as well.
I get some weird messages, yeah.
The Netflix, though, is going to hit bigger numbers than E4. So it's like, it's just went full circle again.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because... I didn't know. No, we didn't get told it was going on Netflix.
So he's not get told.
No,
get
I just went
up.
On Twitter and the Tattoo Fixers official page.
You don't get anything from that.
No,
joking.
No.
You're joking. Why don't you make me ensure
me?
No,
not a bee. Not
you're
a bee.
Joking.
Not a bee. No. No.
Mate, that is going to be fucking flying.
I know,
bastard. No wonder you left me, fucking bastards.
No,
but it'll still boost your profile no matter what. You'll still utilize it to your advantage,
yeah,
because that'll be on there. Netflix numbers are massive just now,
it's crazy, mate. And you know, Netflix is huge. And obviously, like I said, I didn't know it was going on there, and then I saw it on Twitter, and then I thought, oh, fucking hell, it's gonna be on Netflix. And at the time, I knew in my head that was big, but I didn't think so much into it, and then I obviously, since I've retweeted it and the others have been retweeting it and sharing it, well, if you've watched my stories, you can see I'm just constantly getting messages of people watching the show all the time.
Have you missed that kind of as well? It's such a weird life, but then when it goes away...
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I just appreciate it. I really appreciate... I appreciate all the nice messages I get, and I appreciate everyone supporting me. I really appreciate that. I don't... Like, when people recognise me in the street, do I miss that as much? Nah.
Nah, that's bullshit.
I mean,
that.
I don't mind it, you know what I mean? But I quite like, there was a time where I wouldn't be able to go into town just to nip to the shop and buy a pair of jeans or something, you know. I'd think twice about doing it. Whereas now, I don't have that issue.
Yeah.
If people recognise me, it's more like, so-and-so, you know. Mm-hmm. And now, at this point, no one can ask me for a picture anyway. I'm not allowed in 2 metres of me.
It's a good reason, isn't it? Get your mask on. So what, you've had a great career so far, brother. Yeah. You're an absolute gentleman.
Thank you, mate.
I can, obviously, I believe you'll still be doing other things in the future. You can seal your face and you're choking to tell me, but you don't want to give too much away. Yeah. Is it exciting then for you?
Yeah, you know.
Really exciting.
I think you just got to, I'm just an optimistic person, yeah, no matter what the situation is. So, yeah, mate, I always think that, you know, I'm excited, you know, I've done all this stuff in my 20s and I've just turned 30 and I don't see, you know, a lot of people go, oh, I'm 30 and I think, why are you saying that? I'm like, I think I'm now my next 10 years.
I'm 36, man, lucky bastard, really, yeah, mate.
That's
what I talk about.
It, I
lie about me all the time, mate. Girls, I don't know, I'm a lying bastard, mate. Like, they'll say, what age are you? I'll just say, 32, 31. Liar,
it'll
mate.
It'll always come out, mate.
It comes out anyway.
And now
anyway.
You're
going
to get away
with it. I've told that man lies about my age, mate, because I've dyed my hair last week. I'm hanging on with a thread, mate.
It doesn't look dyed.
Yeah. That's because that was good. That was good, mate. Yeah.
No, I like it, mate. I like it. I don't mind. Age is not a thing that bothers me. Again, that's a perception, mate. Yeah. You know, I know a lad that had his leg blown off in Afghanistan called Andy Grant, and he's a motivational speaker now. And, you know, he said to me...
Yeah, I know Andy.
Do you know Andy, yeah?
Yeah, he's coming on the podcast.
Yeah, Andy's a great lad.
Great guy, man.
Yeah, he was on Tight Fixes and stuff, yeah. Great lad. And he was, you know, he said things like he met someone who said something like, if you didn't know how old you were, how old would you feel? Mm-hmm. And you know, when you think about that and you don't think about your age, you'll either feel a lot older or a lot younger.
Yeah, I'm 18 and it's, day long, mate.
All day long, mate. That is only a number. I'm fitter now, mentally, physically, emotionally.
Yeah.
At 36, so don't, that's a lie, don't believe it. But again, it is all in the mind. I see people in their 70s and 80s running marathons.
Yeah.
So again, it is the mindset. Who did you tattoo? Was it Never Walk Alone? Somebody that lost a leg, you'll never walk alone? Or
Andy.
Yeah, was it? Oh, fuck, so
is it
was.
Andy?
Yes.
No, Andy came in and he had the tattoo of You'll Never Walk Alone. Yeah. And the doctor amputated his leg and took off the word alone.
Yeah, so that's
he says, you'll never walk.
Yeah.
When he came in, I was just like, but he's kept that tattoo, he hasn't got rid of it because he loves it.
Yeah, I think he's starting like his own podcast, I think.
Yeah,
or else he's already done it.
Yeah, I've been on it.
Oh, yeah, have you?
Yeah, I was on it, I think it was maybe a year or so ago. Him and his mate Tom are doing
good,
it. Yeah.
Great guy, mate. I was actually speaking to him a couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to get him on, mate.
Been through a lot, mate. Yeah, he's a good guy.
See, that's inspiration, mate. I know some people think they've got a hard life and tough life. A lot of people build that shit up in their mind, but really, what these guys have been through and they're still kicking on in life, they're still showing that it can be done. It's everything's a mindset.
You just got to, mate. I think, you know, you just got to keep going, haven't you? Like, you know, what other choice do you have, really?
Yeah.
You know, and all bad times pass, mate.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
You always get to a better point.
Exactly, mate. And like I say, the light always comes through the darkness, brother. But for coming on today, mate, coming to your hometown, man.
Yeah.
It's been an absolute pleasure, brother.
Thank you, too.
Can't wait to see the Christmas special, mate. I can leave all the links to your tattoo shop and stuff, but you've got a lot of fucking attention, bro, but don't worry about it.
Thank you, mate.
It's been an absolute pleasure, mate, for taking the time, mate. God bless you,
mate. Thanks for having us on. Cheers, mate.
You can also watch my podcast on my YouTube channel. The link is in the bio if you'd like to subscribe. You can follow me on my social media platforms to see who my next guest is. Follow me on Facebook at JamesEnglish11, Twitter, JamesEnglish0, Instagram, JamesEnglish2. You can also download these podcasts on iTunes or Spotify.